Thanks for tuning in to AOA today, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the American farmer is producing stuff that folks around the world just can't wait to get their hands on, and that includes U.S. beef and pork. As we turn the calendar into April, we are getting the total numbers of beef and pork exports for the month of February. Joining me today to talk about those numbers is Dan Hallstrom. He is the president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about those beef exports first for the first January and February parts of the year here. Big numbers for beef in terms of tonnage. Dan, we're shipping a lot of product.
We certainly are, Mike. The momentum continues from 2021 with broad-based growth. I mean, we're up 5% for the month year on year, but really across the board. You know, China's leading the way. We're up almost double from a year ago in China. That business continues to look very, very good. But, we have several other regions, Taiwan, Central America, South America, Caribbean, even Africa and variety. I mean, it's all showing good growth on beef. So, and the larger markets are doing pretty well, Japan and Korea. So, I think, the rebound globally post-COVID are starting to really show good results on beef.
Yeah, they are. And Dan, what really struck me as you were reporting the data there at USMEF was that export tonnage is up 5% year over year, but export value is up 46%, almost 50% higher than it was in February of 2021. The global consumer, it seems, still has cash on hand to pay a premium for U.S. product.
Well, that's a really good point, Mike. The resiliency of demand is honestly even a little amazing for me, and I've been doing this a long time. I mean, we're at on a per head basis year to date, we're $474 a head, and that's without rendered products and hides. If you add them in, you'd be well over $500 a head. And everyone keeps wondering how long the price point can continue, but so far it's pretty darn solid. Really across the board, not only muscle cuts, but the variety meats that I mentioned earlier. We're almost $2 billion in sales through 2 months, so quite amazing on the beef side.
That is absolutely incredible to think about. You mentioned we're seeing very strong sales into China. That's continuing. But Dan, you also highlighted some of the other markets where U.S. beef has long been celebrated by the consumers. How are we doing in Japan so far this year?
Yeah, Japan right now, we're year to date, we're steady, just down a little bit, call it steady, through 2 months, and still one of our largest value markets. So very, very important market. You've got to keep in mind, Japan in particular and Korea, as well as China, those three markets, a lot of people don't realize this, they're still very much locked down from COVID. Japan and Korea are slowly starting to come out of it. Food service is starting to rebound very slowly. But China, what's really kind of amazing about the beef numbers is this is in light of a full-fledged lockdown due to COVID in China. I'm sure a lot of people have heard and read about Shanghai in particular. But really, it's all the eastern seaboard of China is pretty much locked down. The retail is booming, of course, during a lockdown, but food service is absolutely getting hammered. So once they get through this period, and they will, there should be some rebound on the food service side as well. But we're very much still dealing with COVID-19 in the Asian markets today.
Yeah, that is true. Dan, looking over to the European markets, given the crisis between Russia and Ukraine, are we seeing European buyers step in to secure any American protein as of yet?
Well, the beef numbers, interesting you bring that up. The beef numbers are actually up, for beef, U.S. beef into Europe. A little hard to tell I think this would have happened anyway, despite what's happening in the Ukraine and the Eastern European area. Because I think, COVID as well there is starting to be lifted and we're starting to see food service rebound. But, if we want to segue to the pork side here, one of the things that is happening, and this could be a combination of the issues in Ukraine and just the hog cycle, but we are seeing the numbers, the prices really skyrocket on European pork. But keep in mind, they've been low for so long. They're our main competitor globally. So prices are starting to head up, and there's some concerns on the supply side in certain parts of Europe. So that whole dynamic is changing, and I'm sure that the conflict in Ukraine has something to do with that. A little hard to tell in these early stages, but a lot of moving parts in the global marketplace when it comes to what's going on with pricing and supplies.
That is certainly true. Dan, we're discussing the pork market here. One headline in pork that was huge 2 years ago, and it's kind of been pushed to the back burner as other global crises have taken the fore. But I'm curious about African swine fever. What have we heard globally about the spread of that disease, and is that still impacting the global pork trade?
Well, without a doubt, it is still impacting the global pork trade. But in China particularly, there is definitely a rebuild going on in the herd. And we still hear reports of some outbreaks here and there, but I think for the most part, it's getting more under control every day, and we're starting to see that domestic Chinese herd rebuild. And it's reflected in the export numbers. You know, for the month of February, the volumes year on year from U.S. to China were down about 50%. We totally expected this. This is not a surprise, but when you look at it on a year-on-year basis, it looks rather dramatic. That being said, we're still seeing pretty good numbers, almost 200,000 metric tons in the month of February, down 17% mainly due to China. But we're seeing, you know, Mexico and the Latin America area, we're just seeing huge numbers. Mexico's up 30% year-on-year for pork. And, you know, Central and South America have some pretty good things going on as well. So once again, I think the rebound and the increase in some of the North and South American tourism into that region on food service is starting to help as well.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I noticed in your write-up of this that Mexico, again, huge buyer of U.S. pork, and I wondered what was changed. And Dan, so it's more tourists moving down or coming down to Mexico, again, driving some food service. Do you think this is the kind of jump in pork purchases that will be long-lasting for Mexico and Central America?
Well, yeah, I do. I think there's a rebound coming, and the food service sector, it's not back to normal. Don't get me wrong. It's clawing its way back. It's still not where it used to be. But I think the real driver is the trade. It's the retail. It's the subsectors of retail. You know, a lot of pork goes into Mexico. It's further processed for the retail trade and for the convenience store trade and things like this. That business is booming. I mean, the consumer demand in Mexico is really, and globally, is outstanding. I mean, the resilience is really impressive, and Mexico is no exception. We're seeing that loud and clear.
That is good news. As you look down through the rest of Central America in this era of supply chain challenges, anything we can reach with a truck or a train or a boat, Dan, is a nice option to have. Do you continue to expect growth of meat exports into Central and South America from the U.S.?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, on both beef and pork. Pork is leading the way. Traditionally, probably a little more pork consumers than beef. But beef is gaining traction as well in both Central and South America. And to give the listeners a little more detail, Colombia has been a home run, absolute home run for both species. You know, you look at places like Chile are growing. And then in Central America, you've got El Salvador, Guatemala, you know, Nicaragua. If you look at them in some whole of its parts, there's an increasing middle class, there's increasing tourism opportunities, especially in post-COVID. So yeah, it's shaping up nicely to continue to see growth, not only in 2022, but beyond as well.
And Dan, USMEF, of course, tracking the exports of U.S. red meat includes beef and pork, most notably, but also lamb. And lamb exports have been on fire. Dan, can you give us a little update on the lamb export business?
Yeah, the two mainstays, which would be Mexico and then the Caribbean market as well, are seeing dramatic growth. And I got to think that that's a combination of booming retail, the same trends that we were just talking about for beef and pork, but also, you know, that's a heavily concentrated protein for food service, and they absolutely had a real rough go, you know, in a lot of these markets during COVID. So as we come out of COVID, not only in the Caribbean and Mexico, but other parts of the world, we fully think that land has a lot of opportunity going forward as well.
That is great to see producers making a little bit of money here in the ag industry. Dan, looking out here over the next couple months, are there any big things coming that you're watching from the U.S. MEF perspective that could impact our markets?
Well, yeah, I think number one, you know, what's going on in Ukraine, we have to keep a close eye on because, hopefully it does not spread and hopefully it gets contained where it's at, and it's a shorter-term phenomenon, not a longer-term. But, you know, in the case it were to expand to other countries, this we have to keep an eye on because it has the potential to disrupt things even further from a supply chain standpoint. That aside, I think the global supply chain in general is still a challenge. The unreliability of shipments, vessel shipments globally. COVID, as I mentioned earlier, in China is a concern. And a couple of the largest ports in the world are located in China, and they're seeing some backups due to COVID and shortage of labor. So these are some things we got to keep an eye on. But in general, demand is not only healthy, but it's booming.
That is good to hear. We've been talking to Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Anytime, Mike.